The San Francisco sound that became popular during the Summer of Love in 1967 was pretty much a laugh to people who lived in San Francisco. Everybody knew that the famous bands were from somewhere else. Country Joe and the Fish were from Berkeley, Quicksilver Messenger Service from Marin County, and the Grateful Dead were from San Mateo or somewhere down on the peninsula where only the hardy dared to go. It was true that they'd gotten famous playing in San Francisco's ballrooms, the Fillmore and the Avalon, but as far as there being a native San Francisco music scene, the throngs on Haight Street were a couple of years too late.
Come on, everybody! Come on in! Bobby's gonna show you how to do the swim!
Bobby Freeman was San Francisco's first hitmaker, starting in 1958 with his classic Do You Want to Dance, and continuing on to his 1964 hit Come On, Do the Swim, the record that put Autumn Records onto the map. Autumn was the label that documented a lot of the birth of the San Francisco scene because its owners, Tom Donahue and Bobby Mitchell, two DJs who were on Top 40 station KYA, were in the best position to see what was going on. To help them out, they hired a 21-year-old Texas-born kid named Sylvester Stewart to produce the records and co-write some of them. As they say in the business, the kid had ears. He took a fairly green band, a hooker friend of Donahue's had discovered, into the studio and sent them straight to the top.
I hate to say it, but I told you so. Don't mind my preaching to you. I said, don't trust him, baby, now you know. You don't learn everything there is to. Wouldn't believe me when I gave advice. I said that he was a tease. If you won't help, you better ask me nice. So be sincere, convince me with a pretty face. Laugh, laugh before I die. It seems so funny to me.
The Bo Brummels were exactly the kind of folkish, rocking band people were looking for in 1965. Which is undoubtedly how a group of San Francisco State University students, who called themselves We Five, wound up with an A&M Records deal and a one-shot hit.
But I woke up this morning, you were on my mind.
But 1965 was the watershed year. A group of odd people who'd been taking lots of LSD hit upon a plan, move to Nevada and try to take the state over. They started by taking over Virginia City, an all but defunct mining town, and with the Red Dog Saloon as their base of operations, they recruited a house band from a bunch of artists and misfits they knew in San Francisco. The Charlatans, as they were known, probably because they knew as well as anybody how poorly they played, were soon commuting between Virginia City and Frisco, wearing cowboy clothes and Edwardian velvet jackets, carrying real guns, and sporting very long hair.
Woo-hoo, I think I'm gonna die. Woo-hoo, I think I'm gonna cry. Oh, baby, I just know.
The Charlatans cut this number, number one, as a demo for Autumn Records in 1965, and a year or so later, they almost released a version of Buffy St. Marie's Codine, but despite this lack of documentation, they were one of the first of the new breed. Nor were they the only ones taking LSD. Tom Donahue was getting further and further out, too, and opened a club called Mother's, right on Broadway in the middle of Topless City. There, he found a band he thought had potential, but they drove Sylvester Stewart nuts. After 50 takes, though, they had a single in the can.
When the truth. Don't.
Even then, the bass was still out of tune, but Grace and Darby Slick were probably too stoned to tell, and the Great Society, as the band called itself, failed to make any impression. By this time, Autumn Records was going under. Donahue was incapable of doing business. His partner Bobby Mitchell had developed Hodgkin's disease and knew he was going to die, and they sold the label and all of its artist contracts to Warner Brothers, which was just getting into the record business. It was 1966, another year, and Donahue would have had a gold mine because the new bands didn't trust establishment labels too much. And before long, everybody was echoing Bobby Mitchell's last words. What was that? Thanks to Gene Scalati and Bob Simmons for help with this piece.